Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information and support.
Okay, so we're going to go back to Catherine now. So Catherine, it sounds like takes part in lots of different sports, but she's going to talk to us about a couple of others. So parkrun and triathlon, I believe. So over to you, Catherine.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say I've always been a little bit hyperactive, but I've managed to channel it in the right way. So I've always been involved in lots of sports. And then once I started working in the VI world, I kind of participated as a guide in VI sport. So I've always done a bit of running, and then got asked by someone quite early on when I was kind of new to the VI world if I would guide them. And in goal ball sessions, you naturally do a bit of guiding in warm-ups, etc. But I'd never gone out there and done a proper guided run as such, but just went for it, and it was fantastic. And I found it kind of rewarding, but also just enjoying it, because it was just having company on a run. And also it's almost you're a team. It's a little bit of coaching, but you're a team. You're encouraging each other and, you know, to keep going. And I tend to guide over 5K and 10K, but there's distances for everybody. And you don't have to enter races either. I mean, there's so many mass participation events out there now that people always worry that they're not fast enough, they're not fit enough, but you know, you can just join in and then plod around at whatever pace you're comfortable with. So one of the first things that I got involved with was parkrun. So parkruns are 5K runs on a Saturday morning. Well, they're walk, jog, runs, it's up to you, you set the pace. And they take place in parks around the UK. I mean, for example, I live near Leeds. I think we've got about 8 within Leeds. So there's lots of them out there. The main challenge from a VI point of view is often getting there, because it's, you know, 9 o'clock start on a Saturday morning. So transport can be an issue. And then also it is finding your way to the actual start line in a park. Having said that, I've done some VI awareness training with a few park runs, and little things like just having a meet and greet at the nearest bus stop can make it very accessible. So park runs are out there, and there is a specific Facebook page for VIs and also for guides. So it's a bit of a matchmaking service. You can look, say, I'm wanting to run here, and this is my pace, you know, is there a guide available? In terms of technique, in an ideal world, if you're being ultra competitive, then you probably want somebody who is a similar height to you. So your stride length is similar, but if you're just going out there for, you know, recreational jog, then you can adapt. In terms of guiding technique, there's a few options. It's down to personal preference, unless it is an official race, and then there'll be rules set. But some people will choose to just do a traditional guiding by holding onto the arm. Some people will use a tether. With a tether, there can be different lengths and different materials as well. So it just depends how comfortable you are. And then some people, if they have got you know, some useful vision, may just do what we call shadow guiding. So from a sighted guide point of view, that's a little bit strange when you've got someone almost a bit too close to you behind. But you know, it works well, and they can just follow you around that way. I've done a park run in Leeds for a number of years, often guiding somebody. And then there was an event in the build-up to the Paralympics in 2012, and I got the opportunity to run the course under eye shades, and it was an incredible experience. And I think from that day onwards, I've been a much better guide, because I felt the terrain under my feet, I felt the inclines, I heard the traffic, I kind of felt the breeze more. So it was a really kind of powerful central experience, and that it's made me a better guide. So that's kind of the parkrun angle. England Athletics and British Blind Sport also have a Find a Guide database, so you can put your details in there and your postcode and see if there's anyone nearby. I got contacted recently by someone in London who was just coming up to Yorkshire for the weekend and was looking for a guide. So it's a really, really useful tool. For that, the guides are all DBS checked. With parkrun, you know, it's a bit more informal, so it's up to you as to how relaxed you are. Personally, a lot of people I know are quite happy to be, you know, guided by anybody. They're just grateful to have that guide available. But if you want to go down the official route, someone who has been trained, who's done England Athletics course, who is DBS checked, then the Find a Guide database is there for you. just a couple of weeks ago with the, I think it was called the Great South Run. It was certainly in Bristol. It was a 10K event, and that was the first time ever that they'd been a designated blind and partially sighted race. And I think that's we're just going to grow as well. There'll be more opportunities like that. For organised races, how it normally works is the visually impaired runner will enter, and then the guide will be allocated a free place. So it's just a case of entering a race and then contacting the race organiser to let them know that you're visually impaired. Sometimes on the entry form there will be a tick box to kind of put it in there, but if not, you just contact them and then they'll know that you know, you need a guide runner. Loads of mass participation events now. I mean, if you look at the marathon that happened yesterday, you know, literally thousands of people running. So it's up to you whether you want to just do it a little bit for fitness or take it seriously and push yourself as much as you can. There's a few people that I've guided in the past that have now become too fast for me. So they've moved on to other people, because from a guiding point of view, that's one thing that, you know, is important, that if I'm too busy hyperventilating and not being able to keep pace, then I'm not doing my job as a guide, because my job as a guide is to kind of be the eyes in the partnership and to point out hazards and to get us safely around the course. So if I'm not fit enough, then I can't guide safely. So it's making sure that your guide is a little bit faster than you, just so they can keep up with you. So that was kind of the running element of it. From running, I'd always done swimming and cycling just recreationally. So naturally it was like, right, well, let's put these three together and do a triathlon. So I started doing triathlon just by myself initially, and then again got involved in guiding. So to take you through the elements of that, so triathlon, swim, bike, run. For the swim, it depends on whether it's a pool swim or an open water swim. So if it is a pool swim, as a guide, you often feel like a bit of a fraud, because often we don't swim. Because what we'll do, the VI athlete, they'll just swim by themselves and they'll do a stroke count. And you can help, obviously, tap them on the head when they come to the end. If it's an open water swim, then you are tethered together in the water. So you just have a bit of a bungee that goes around your waist. And again, it's just a relationship that you develop. You get to know the person you're racing with, and you know what the pace is that's comfortable for you and for them. The bike is then a tandem. So out of the water onto the bike. Question that people often ask is, who sits where? Well, sighted person on the front and visually impaired person on the back. And that's real teamwork. Because what you've got to remember is that, you know, physiologically, there's no difference between you and the VI athlete. It's just the sight that's a difference. So, you know, sometimes it can be really nice if you've got a powerful athlete on the back and they're doing more work than what you're doing, powering you around the course. Then after the bike is onto the run. The run is as we've just explained, you know, it's with a tether and or with an arm guide. It's entirely up to you. Some races will have a variety of distances. Sometimes it will be a fixed distance. So, for example, if you're doing what's called a sprint triathlon, it will be a 750-meter swim, so 30-length swim. It will then be a 20K bike ride, and then it will be a 5K run. So that's kind of a typical race, but there are shorter races and there's also longer races that go all the way up to Ironman distance when you end up running a marathon on the back of a long swim and a long bike. So like with everything, it's down to the individual's aspirations and what you want to get involved in. I really enjoy it because of the, you know, it's a team, it's not a team sport on paper, but when you're guiding, it becomes a team sport. You're a partnership, you're working together. And also there's a lot of cake involved, which is always really good. Whenever you finish a triathlon or a long bike ride, you definitely need cake to refuel. I'm involved with an organisation called Vision of Adventure. So they're based up in the Lake District, but they get involved in events around the country. They also do a variety of outdoor activities, not just triathlon. So they do canoeing and climbing and caving. But yeah, they're fantastic, and they cater for all abilities. So they'll do beginners courses where it doesn't matter if you've never swum or tandem before, you can go along and try the sport, all the way through to kind of advanced and doing rated. there's a group of us now that, that take part in a number of races, and we have an annual training camp as well, nice warm weather training camp in February. We go out to Lanzarote to do some training out there. So it's up to you where you want to take it. From a local point of view, in theory, swimming, cycling and running are all very inclusive sports. So there should be opportunities available at local clubs. Often we find that it is a little bit of a fear factor almost. So you sometimes just have to talk to the committee and explain what your needs are, and they'll realise that actually, you know, having a blind person isn't that scary, and you run exactly the same way. It's just that you need that tether. So not all clubs will be brilliant from the beginning, but hopefully most clubs will eventually get involved and help out where they can. And I just see it that it doesn't change my opportunity to take part. I still get to go for a run or go for a swim, bike, run. But at the same time, I'm enabling someone else to do it. So really, really, really good fun. And I kind of encourage everyone to give it a go, because it's, good fun.
That's brilliant. Thanks, Catherine. It sounds like, very exhausting, but good fun. Has anybody got any questions for Catherine about running, triathlon, any aspects of that, really?
With regards to somebody like first getting involved with it and stuff, would you say that like swimming, venues and things like that, do they tend to make sort of a bit of a, I can't really think what the word is, would they allocate like a specific time or like a lane of the pool? Do you find it's quite easy, like from your experience, have you heard that people have got quite good access to their sort of local facilities to sort of get started? Or for example, I know I once went swimming and they very kindly sort of kept like a lane free at a kind of a non-busy time. Do you find they're quite accessible, or are people trying to happen to make their own sort of ways to do it, if you like?
I would say, to be honest, I think it's very mixed. Some people have had really negative experiences, but other places have been very accommodating. I do understand if it's a peak period or they've got lots of kids swimming lessons going on, it's hard to accommodate. But I know people that regularly go to the go to the gym and go for a swim, and yes, they'll the staff will be great. They'll guide them from the changing room to the poolside, and they'll have a lane to themselves. But then unfortunately there have been a few horror stories. But again, I think it's that little bit of education almost, and if you can talk to the facility beforehand and just let them know what help you need. There's, I don't know if people have heard about the new RNIB and BBS project, the Sea Sport Differently, and that's going to do some work with leisure providers as well, just to make people aware. I mean, we've had other people, for example, with that their anxiety is not getting in the water and going for a swim, their anxiety is walking into the gents' changing room instead of the ladies, or vice versa. And it's something like that. It's trivial, really, isn't it? It's something minor that stops you from going and taking part, but it can easily be rectified. But they just tend to need to be aware of it. It's mixed. I think that's the best way of putting it. I can't pretend that it's brilliant everywhere, but and even with events, sometimes events can be really great. We regularly do the Pendle Triathlon, and what they do for that is the main wave starts at, I think it's 9 a.m, but we get to go half an hour early, and we get the pool to ourselves for the first half an hour, and everyone gets a lane to themselves, and then the mass participation afterwards. Sometimes that will be the case with road races as well, where they'll start the triathletes in a separate group. I think it certainly was like with the marathon yesterday, there was lots of VI runners, so they were in a separate group, but it's down to you, because sometimes people don't like being near the front, because then some of the faster athletes will come by them later on.